you'll turn over to this morning to 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. And let's see. What are we today? I should know. Day's 10th. Yeah. June 10th, well, those lights just popped right on in, I tell you. 1 John chapter 3, watch our time there. Don't let me forget, I'll announce again at the end, but men are going to meet out back there and pray again. And so let's don't forget that. If I forget that, somebody said, hey, don't forget to remind them. They're going, everybody, we're going to pray again right after Sunday school, so I'll be mindful of the time, watch that. Let's look this morning at, of course, we think about 1 John, we think about love and love one another, and God is love. And of course, I forget, pastors told us before, and I've tried to go back and look and count or get a count, but how many times love or something pertaining to love is mentioned actually in the book of 1 John. But let's look here at chapter 3. If we could, we'll read all 24 verses, but we'll really focus more on verses 11 through about 15 or 16. We'll be over in Genesis just a brief time, and then Lord willing, we'll be finished. Chapter 3, verse number 1 of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And that's reading all 24 verses there of 1 John chapter 3. And if you go back and look, of course, again he starts off, John does, beloved. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? In other words, what type of love has he given us, that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In other words, the world's not going to know who we are. or what we stand for, or why we meet on Sundays and worship, or why we meet on Sunday nights or Wednesday night, or why we have vacation Bible school, or why we go out and visit on Saturdays and invite people to church. Because the world knew not Christ either. So, you know, they don't understand that. You know, we talked a little bit about that about last Sunday. It's foolishness. Preaching is foolishness, or seems to be foolish to the world, which to us it's not. And we like coming here and fellowshipping one another and reading Scripture and hearing the gospel preached and the tent meeting going on another week. And I think we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. There's probably some that would love to see that shut down, or they probably have negative comments made about it. Well, what are they getting accomplished up there? Is anything really going on? You can imagine and hear that out in the world, but they just don't understand. And as you see here in this book of 1 John, one thing John does do throughout in his epistles when he's writing is you can always see love in his writing. I mean, you can with all the apostles, but especially with John. And he really, I'm not going to say overlooks, that's the wrong word, but he really takes into account mankind and who man really is. And I think that's why we'll get to it in a second. He uses Cain and Abel as an example. He really gets down to where the rubber meets the road and says, you know, you got to not overlook them, but you got to forgive man. They don't understand. They don't know. To them, it's foolishness. And that's why he says here, therefore the world knew us not, because it knew him not. And as we go on, and I didn't mean to spend a lot of time here. I thought we'd be for a few more verses down. But verse number 2 said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and this doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, we don't have that final body yet. We don't have that eternal body. We know we're going to have one, and we're going to be like Christ. But right now, we're still in his flesh. We're still here. And I think that's why we get over into some of these other verses 16, 17, 18. I think that's why he's reminding us here, we're still in these fleshly bodies. We're still here. We still represent the church, represent Christ. So as we go on, as you look through here, let's go down to verse number 7, if you would. I want to get to kind of what we were talk about this morning, and a little bit of Cain, a little bit of Abel, and how that affects us. And anyway, let's just read that. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Now stop right there, verse number 9. There's sometimes a lot of, I'm not going to say confusion, but people, they disagree on what that verse means. They say, well, once you're saved, that's saying that you can never sin again. And if you go study that out, and especially go back and look at the Hebrew and the meaning of when it says commit sin, and when they translated that over to English, it means to dwell in, stay in, continue in. In other words, you've truly been born again, and you're saved. You can still get out and get into something that's sinful, make a bad decision, get out and do something that you knew you shouldn't have done wrong and you shouldn't have done. And the reason why I say that, you know that you shouldn't have done it because the Holy Spirit lets you know that. And you don't stay in that. You repent of that. You know, it's Billy Mitchell's always telling us, says, once I repented and was saved, he said, I've been repenting ever since. He said, just because of way I live, I'm still in these fleshly bodies. And I think about that. And that's what this verse is saying here. You're not going to dwell in it, not going to continue to stay in it. And sometimes that gets confusing to people, and I use that word, and I said I wasn't going to, but it gets controversial, I guess. Sometimes people will pull that verse out and say, well, look here, you say you're born again, you live any way you want to. And I'll use a Billy Mitchellism again. Yeah, but you want to's changed. You may go down that path, but something turns you around. You know, I said about how my mom would grab my brother and I's ears and turn us around. That's kind of how that happens. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and says, wait just a second. I remember, you probably remember, somebody who's been here a long time, I'm sure remember, Preacher Jack used to tell that story. He told it more than once about how he signed that note for that other man that time, and that man ran out on the note, left Preacher Jack paying it. So he had to support his family, work every day, and he'd have to, some of his check would come out, or he'd have to take so much out and pay off that other man's note. He said years went by, and he said that man pulled back up, you know, moved back to Kingsport and put him on his mail route. And you remember Preacher Jack talking about that. He told that from the pulpit, and he said he pulled up one day and looked at that mail. I can just imagine he looked at that and looked at the house, thought, oh boy, I know who that is. He said, I'll put this thing in park and I'll take care of him. He said about the time he started to get out of that door, he said, I remember him telling that, he said he had his hand on it ready to get out because he remembers that, because he said it took him about 2 years to pay that note off. And it wasn't even his. He said he started to get out, and he said something on the inside of him. He said, all right, big boy, I said, it's time for you to stay in the mail truck. He said, you just go right on up to the next mailbox. He said he wanted to get out so bad, but he said the Lord was like, no, you better not get out of this truck. So he wasn't using that example to say that what that man had done was wrong. We know that what he was using examples like here. He was getting ready to get in old flesh and go work that man over something that the Lord was trying to tell him, I'll take care of it. You just move on. See, that goes back here to this verse number one that we read, and verse number two said, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. I think that's the example, reason why he was given that. I don't remember if he was looking in 1 John or where he was. He was using that example as an example in his own life. And I think that's a good example to use, that you think, well, he was a pastor of the church. That's right, he was. And we all heard his preaching and knew, but when he was out, Preacher Vinoy would probably tell similar stories or situations that's occurred to him that he's wanted to do something, but he's like, well, I better not. So the Lord's told me, said, me just move on, he'll handle it. And that's what I think we see here. And again, he didn't get out and do anything. Here it's talking about you get into sin, and he didn't. But he had that little tug letting him know that I'm right here. You better just shut the door and keep moving. And so that's what that verse number 9 there talks about. But if you get on over to verse number 10, 11, 12, you'll see, as we've told from the beginning, as John tells us, so, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Verse number 10, in this the children of God are manifest. In other words, like the example we just gave with Preacher Jack, and like I said, I'm sure Preacher Vinoy, Pastor Rick, he could give example. Any of you could. I'm sure I could. We could all give examples of that in our lives, where either we got into something and said, uh-oh, I've made a mistake, or we just almost got ourselves into something, and we look back later and say, boy, that was the Lord just keeping me out of that. And the children of the devil. So in this, the children of God are manifest, as we were saying. That's when you could see that in their lives. And the children of the devil. In other words, if you're saved, you can look around and you should be able to discern and see that, not only in your own lives, but in others. And you say, no, wait a second, that's saying that, as you look at somebody else, maybe you're not judging them, but you're just pointing out maybe what occurred in their life or something that was sinful, something maybe they shouldn't have been into. Maybe they ask you about it. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child, whatever it may be. You can discern that. You can see that. And I also like to go back and use again something we heard the old preacher say before. Said, if a drunk man comes in, you're not judging them because they're drinking. You're just discerning what you see. They're stumbling around, falling into stuff, hitting their head. They're drunk. So what you're doing is just discerning what you see, what's happened. And so I think that's what that refers to there, and the children of the devil. And this children of God are manifest. You can see, as in verse 9, they don't dwell in sin, but also in the children of the devil. You can see how they live and how their lives are conducted. It said, whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And the example we're given, verse number 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So as you go back and look at the end of verse 10, it says, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And in other words, it's not just a profession of faith, but it's also your acts and your actions, how people see you live, how you conduct yourselves, that communication we hear about, not just verbally, but how we live. And that's why John reminds us, for this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. So Cain is the example of Cain and Abel that he's using in verses 9, 10, verse number 11. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? In other words, he asked the question, why did he slay him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Jealousy. As we look, let's go back over and look at that. I think it's Genesis 4. If we'll go over and look, and I'll read that. We'll see, why did he do that? And of course, you all know that. But we'll look and see. His own works were evil. And as we see that as an example. There was no love. Because you think about it, as I'm turning over here, Genesis 4, yeah, that's where it is. Cain believed in God too. He did. And they were raised in the same home. I know I've heard that before too. Said, you know, you raise children in the same home, three or four children, let's say, and one may get out and get in trouble, and one becomes a preacher's wife or a preacher, and one does this, one does that. Well, you know, and you've heard the comment made too, just in passing, not being judgmental. Somebody's made the comment, said, yeah, they were all raised together. What happened? Well, they're the individuals, because what I've heard before mentioned, well, Cain and Abel was raised in the same home as well. You know, Cain also had respect for God. If he didn't, he wouldn't have brought that first sacrifice. But now Cain's heart was evil. And as we look here and see, said, as we look here, and you know, Cain believed in God as well. And as we look here, as we see, and as we begin to read, and he's raised in the same home. And then Cain brought an offering. And he had jealousy or hatred toward his brother. Let's look here and say, let me read the scripture, me trying to come, let me just go through here. Let's go to verse number, see, I said chapter 4, verse number 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So see, he had a respect or believed in God. I use the word respect, but let's say he believed in God as well. So he brought an offering. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, or he got angry, got mad. You guys know that. And his countenance fell. So God could see that. And you know, you think about that. Adam and Eve, you know, they had walked with God in the garden. Here's where there's boys. And so they knew, would have known firsthand what it would have been like to walk with God and to talk with God. And as we've mentioned before, and of course we're not told that anywhere, but just human nature, you would think they would have shared that with Cain and Abel. So again, raised in the same home. And but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? In other words, God approached him in love. And he asked him, you know, what's wrong? It's almost like you do, if the law catches you out here doing something, or your mom and dad catch you something, or grandparents, or kids get in trouble, whatever. I'm not going to say it goes easier on you, but it's almost like when you give them a chance themselves to, I think about, you know, people turn themselves in. You know, I watch those old westerns all the time, and, you know, they'll tell themselves, well, if you turn yourself in, says, the marshal always tells him, said, I'll put in a good word for you. Maybe the judge will go easy on you. You know, if you admit what you did wrong, you know, so maybe rather than whatever, you know, they give him a lighter sentence or they, you know, right before they get him, the bounty hunter, that's what happens. They give him a little extra for being honest, so to speak. And I know you that way with your children, too. It seems like your anger is not as great. You may be mad, but if they say, yeah, I know what I did was wrong, and they still may be punished, but you give them a chance to correct the mistake, so to speak. At least know what they did. And it seems like, I'm not saying it wouldn't have been, that's not what the Lord's doing here, but he asked that question. Of course, the Lord knows everything. God does. He knew how Cain would respond and what would happen. But he said, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. and into thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So as you look here in verse number 7, sin lieth at the door. In other words, the devil was just waiting. The devil was just waiting for that crack in the door. You know, we hear that a lot, talking about how sin sometimes try to creep into our lives, but sometimes we'll use the physical church building. Sometimes we'll say, you know, you got to kind of guard that the congregation does against sin coming in from the world or letting that creep in and affect us and in turn affect the relationship with each other and the love we have, and then that in turn affects the church. Well, we always talk about the crack in the door. And you talk about that even at home, the crack in the door at home. And you know, you think about that in our lives, but how we say his sin lieth at the door. If that's true, then that means sin's just waiting, which it is, but that means sin's just waiting right outside the door. Door of our lives, door of our heart. And I know I use the door of the building, but we're talking more of a spiritual realm when we say lieth at the door. That means sin or the devil's just waiting on its opportunity. Take hold. Well, if you look back over in John, or just stay, keep your hand up where you're at, that's where he's referring to here. And when he talks to us, when he mentions to us or talks to us, is not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Verse number 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Sin lieth at the door. It's right there in the world. And we were already told up here in verse number 9, that we can fall right back into it, or we can do something sinful as well. We just don't dwell in it or stay in it, because sin lieth at the door. We're still in these fleshly bodies. You know, I've told you before, you know, I'm really afraid of snakes, you know, and I shouldn't say afraid, but anyway, I'll jump if I see one, jump on the car hood. I've done that a couple times. And Kim's the opposite. She picks them up and throws them out across the yard. You know, I've told you all those stories before. It just amazes me because a little spider will hang down in front of the door. I mean, you can't even see it. And she won't go through the door. Oh, no, got to get that spider. Oh, man, she'll leave the kitchen like if one gets in on the window or something or comes in. She'll go the other direction. But now a snake, it don't matter if it's 4 or 5 feet long. She don't care. You know, she's like yelling at a dog or a cat, get out of here. She'll just brush it on out, you know. And I'm on the hood of the car, you know, at the time. So I try to keep the door shut, and I use that as an example. I do, because see, if you leave that little crack, that little snake get in, that little spider get in. So we have, and I use that because you forget who it was that was here preaching. Might have been during a revival. Talked about we all have a little something that might entice us more, and it might be different with each person. So if you think about how sin lieth at the door, see, I don't want that little snake squiveling through the door, me having to run it through the house, or Kim having to run it down, or Kim doesn't want those spiders to drift in. In other words, there's something different that affects us. So we keep that door shut tight and closed. Got to be careful. You got to guard that. It goes back to guarding your heart. And each one of us has something. Now, it may be, I don't know what it may be, but people's got different things that might take your mind off things it should be. So as we look here, let me finish reading over here in Genesis. Yeah, I got just a few more minutes. We'll be sure allowing the men plenty of time. Let's go down to verse number 7. We'll finish there. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And as you look there, it said, verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass. They were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, if you go back and look, Abel means keeper. And you wonder there if Cain's not trying to use a little play on words. Am I my brother's keeper? In other words, Abel, just by his name, his definition, should have been able to keep himself. And so as we look there, and we won't go back and read any further, but of course, he had evil in his heart. Satan, sin lieth at the door, and Cain let it in. And you say, wait a second, you know, shouldn't they have been able to tell that? No, that's why I want to point that out again. Cain and Abel was raised in the same home. Adam and Eve was their mom and dad. Adam and Eve, they'd walked in the garden with God. Cain still had respect for God, or I keep using that word respect. I get that when I was reading and studying that. That's what he's Lord had unto Abel. He had believed in God or belief in God or knew God from a standpoint of knew there was a God. Let me rephrase that. Not necessarily respect of God, because then that goes on next to you think, well, did he have a love of God? So the respect there was that the Lord had for Abel. But we knew God had talked with Cain. It says here, and Cain to God. But his desires were more overwhelming than that. And I think that's what John points out. Let's go back over to John. He says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, verse number 14. We know that we have passed from the death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. In other words, how can you not love the brethren? Not only the brethren and the church and others have been saved, but how can you not love the men or women in the world? You want to see them saved. You want to see the lost saved. And in verse number 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You go back and look in Hebrews chapter 11, faith chapter, especially get closer there to the end and that chapter we read the other night, of whom the world was not worthy. And a lot of them laid down their lives for the scripture and for the Bible that could be passed along, and for the church could spread and the gospel could spread. And so as you look there in verse number 17, but so whoso hath this world's good, and since his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, if you see a brother in need, how could you not help him? And you have the means to do that. That's the love of God. But if you go back to verse number 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Because that the example that John uses goes all the way back to Cain. Because, again, I guess that's always been kind of a marvel, even as a kid to me, and I'd go back and look, how could Cain have killed Abel? I mean, it just doesn't make sense, so to speak. But that sinful nature, that's pointed out, sin lieth at the door. And into thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him, or should rule over him. In other words, he began to let sin rule in his life. And as we go on here and we'd be finishing up, and said, but whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, you think about that, and I read that the other day, and this has just stuck with me, and I can't get it out of my mind. And I'll read it to you guys again. I don't know, there's something there, or there's a reason why that's bugging me, and I'll read it again. Over in Romans, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and thus the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? I might have read that Wednesday night, and I was telling them the same thing. That has been on my mind and heart now for a couple of weeks. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's Romans chapter 2, verses number 3 and 4 I read. And you just look there and said, the goodness of God. And I think some of that, in the goodness of God, as you read there, is not only allowing God's, as we see here, forbearance and long-suffering, but also from God's people, as we see here in verse number 17, that's willing to help others, not only for the brothers and sisters in Christ, but also others, maybe a neighbor that's lost, or ones in sin, or going door to door, or the ones that drove the van and picked up the kids at the homes this week, or people that brought others with them, or the ones that worked and gave out the refreshments, or the ones that worked in the games. There was a love of God that others could see in them as they worked with everybody. And I think that's what he's referring to here. And just a few more verses, and that's where I was going to tie it up anyway, so we'll be a little early today, so I didn't want you to think I was rushing, but just really a short lesson for today. That's what I wanted us to think about. And that kind of all ties in together with what we talked about last Sunday. In verses number 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. And we can go over and read James. He'll tell us all about the tongue. Neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, just don't say it, but do it. And that's why we use this week. I did Vacation Bible School. And I, again, think that goes back up, that verses 15, 16, 17. You could see it in action. You know, the Bible is full of action words. Pastor Rick may have preached on that when he first got here. First year or two he was here, he talked about the actions in the Bible. I can't remember if he titled it Action Words or if that's kind of how I did it in my mind, but talking about action that the Bible wants us to take or Scripture wants us to take. See, my little children, let us not live in word or deed, neither in tongue, but in deed, in truth. In other words, that takes action. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And as you look here and said, and you study, said, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. In other words, persuade our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, in other words, if we know we've done wrong, God is greater than our heart. In other words, ourself or our conscience that, oh, I've done, should have done this or should have done that. I could have given more. I could have, and when I say more, I'm talking about more of my time. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave His commandments. So it all goes back to love. He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. Hereby we know that we abideth in us. He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. In other words, the love of God. He's given us something, given us the Holy Spirit, which guides and directs us and leads us. And that's kind of what I had this morning. It was really, I guess, more of a chance to look at our lives and know that you're in the love of God and how God first loved us. And thank you for your attention.